Well, if you had a chance to put aside all your thoughts and ideas about Christmas and some of the anticipations you have and plans and trade them in for God's ideas and God's plans about Christmas and some of the purposes He would like to bring about, would you be willing to do that? That would be an act of faith. It's something Mary and Joseph had to do in their lives. And I think each one of us, as we think about the Lord coming, have to get our hearts cleared out so room can be made for Him to take charge once again in our walk and in the gift of salvation if we've never received Christ. He came for you, and so His heart is toward you this morning. But if we do that, if we're willing to trade in our ideas and thoughts and plans for God's ideas, thoughts and plans about Christmas or our life itself, the Lord promises would experience Him as a shepherd to watch over us as His flock, that we would experience the strength of God coming from God Himself, that we would recognize His strength, that is. We would live securely, and His greatness would be spread, and also He would be our peace. So you might say, well, it's hard to give up something or our life, but the receiving of the grace of Christ and His ruling in our lives so much greater for us to embrace. And do that at Christmas, if you would, with me. One of the great things about Christmas we know from the story and the Gospels and the Old Testament is that the birth of Jesus was God's idea, not man's idea. God did all the planning. God did all the working. And humanity basically just showed up and said, well, we think we need Him. That's how it worked. And the prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament help us see that. 700 years before Christ was born, God told the prophet Micah, as Bob read, that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. So it's a small town. And about 50 years later, the Lord told the prophet Hosea that He would come out of Egypt. So there'd be a time where the Messiah would be in Egypt, very pagan land, didn't know much about the Lord. And another prophet, the Lord told us that the Messiah would be a Nazarene, or somebody who would be despised from that section of the country. That if you were from Nazareth, everybody thought, well, is anything good out of that? You know, nothing good could come from there. And if you and I were planning Christmas, we wouldn't pick Bethlehem, Egypt, or Nazareth at all. But the Lord did. I remember living in Somerset for a while, and Pastor Wood probably remember this as he did also. In the suburbs of Somerset, if you think that them as some suburbs, they had a little town called Chicken Town. And Chicken Town was a place where just a few people lived. Hardly anybody knew where it was. But we had some strong believers in Chicken Town. So when the Lord would send a Messiah, it would be like today, send him to Pennsylvania, not Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, Chicken Town. There he is. Who? God's plans working better than people's plans. And the same strategy that God would use to bring Jesus into the world, He would take the time to plan details, small details in our life, and big events in our life, so that we might receive and follow the Messiah. If He would do it for Mary and Joseph, He would do it for you and for me. And so God does it in His good timing and His good planning in our lives. It's called His providence in the Bible, or His sovereignty, ruling over things. God's Word says at the exact right time that the Father set, He sent His Son into the world. So the Lord works with time, the times in your life. There's Psalms that says, my times are in your hand. That means like every moment by moment, we have a chance to be kept in His love. Every hour we can know we need Him. That's the Lord's will for us. And the Lord works with time, even though He's bigger than time. He works with the clock. So right at this moment, from all eternity past, God knew you'd be in worship. He'd know the condition of your heart. You know, he would know the preparation you had made to come to worship, whether it was a lot or a little bit. And he was ready to meet us here. So I planned for that time. Planned to help you in your life. That's the Lord's will. And then he works with the clock. He works around the clock every moment. So God's always at work, Jesus said. He's not asleep. And then the Lord works beyond the clock. You feel like, oh, can I make up for lost time? We can't, but God can. Things that are in our lives that still haunt us from the past, God can say, I can give you peace about that. I can help you say it's well with your soul about that. God works sovereignly to provide above and beyond what we plan or do. And it was the Lord's plan to bring the Messiah to your heart. If it wasn't for the planning of God, you wouldn't know Jesus. You wouldn't know heaven. You wouldn't know the forgiveness of sins. You wouldn't know salvation. God had a plan. And your heart response yielded to Him and to that. Thank God for what He did for you. Your salvation and my salvation is all of God. And no merit or addition is on our part. Okay, that's something the Lord would say. Rejoice in Him about. Would you want to know where you're straying, both from the gospel and in understanding God? Think of the things that you try to add to Christ and to the cross for your salvation. What are you trying to add to that? That's where you're wrong. Whatever you're trying to add to that. Some people would add human standards. Well, you have to behave, but giving up these things. God will take care of those things. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is won by Christ and worked by Him. You take no credit for it. It would be like you taking credit for your physical birth. That would be a foolish thing. Someone else did the creation. Someone else did the labor. And your part was to realize, hey, I need this to happen to me. That's the only thing you contributed to your physical birth, and that's the only thing you contributed to your spiritual birth. God can really change you. I need Christ to happen to me. So God provides and guides for all eternity. And we sang the song, Lord, rule in all our hearts alone. In other words, you take charge. Dictionary definition of God's planning and providence is that God sustains and guides human history. So He has a plan for everything. And He has a plan for your life and my life. It's very comforting. We're not directionless. We don't have to come up with it in our own minds. And making three applications to God's unfolding plan of salvation for us. First of all, to know the Lord is always the key planner and worker in your life. That's a good thing. He has that ability. He's always the key planner and worker. Proverbs 16:7 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. I don't know if you've ever had the situation where you thought of getting ready for something or preparing for something, And everything worked out exactly like you prepared for it to work out. I don't know too many people who've had that experience. Usually there's a glitch here and a glitch there beyond your control. And certainly how your heart is, you need the Spirit to come and give you peace and self-control. But you can plan your steps, but the Lord determines what happens. Part of Jonah's story in the Bible is this. If you determine to go south and you end up going north, you know the Lord wanted you to go north. That's the assurance of God working in your life. Thank the Lord for His redirection. Nothing that we plan comes to pass as we plan it, and we should be thankful it's so. Because that's evidence of God ruling in our lives. He's the main mover. And in all our decisions and choices, He rules and overrules. I remember going to a guy's home one time and just visiting to see how he was doing and maybe have a prayer and help spiritually, and thinking, I really have to get here on time because this I want to show this man that it's important to me and it's an important matter how he's doing with the Lord. So I was held up by a lot of different things beyond my control, got lost a couple of times, going to the house, show up 25 minutes late, and when I got there shortly after, his spouse came in and began to overhear some of the things we're talking about, and she came and sat down. And she was very open to Christ. And both of them were really in need of leaning on the Lord. So my plans were just to go and talk to one. God's plan was to say, hey, minister to the people that I sent into your life. The details of our plans don't work like we think. God's always the main planner, main worker. James chapter 4 says this, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. That's a good one for us to hear with the skills that we have, putting them under God. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You should say, if the Lord wills, we will do this and that. And that's something God can give us a heart for. Lord, I want to follow your direction and not just go on the path that I thought was fine. Mary and Joseph's honeymoon wasn't as they planned. And some of yours wasn't. But the Lord it was a lot better in the Lord's mind. To put in a good word for the choices we make and how important they are, God's the prime mover, the choices we make, and so on. You know, if we rely on our choices only, be excited about that, we might get it right half the time, three quarters of the time, you know, on a good week. But if we rely on God's choices and His will, you'll get it right 100% of the time. So which choice are you more excited about? Yours or God's? I was in a bookstore one time and wandered into the occult section, being a person who tends to go astray, and I picked up the Satanic Bible. Well, I'm going to read this for a while and see what's the big sell on this thing. And I read just far enough to see a passage in where the devil tells people that to really be free, your will be done. Okay, that's the big sell that was supposed to get to our hearts. And so we know as we go through life and take each step one day at a time, if we're bent on, hey, my will be done, we're going in the opposite direction that the Lord wants us to go. We want to be praying, Lord, your will be done. I want to know your way, because that's what's really going to change my life. And when you think of your life, wouldn't you rather be in God's plan and in His choices instead of your choices or somebody else's plan for you? You know, people have been in had rough times in their life say, let me fall into the hands of God as opposed to the hands of others, because I don't know what I'm going to get if you fall into the hands of others. But God is the main worker and mover in your life, and something to rejoice in, something to lean on Him about, yield to Him about. Second part of application in God's unfolding purpose of salvation is that He helps you fear not when it comes to the present and future. That your life, your heartbeat, your emotions are in the Lord's care. God is at work in you. That's a promise from Philippians 2:13. God is at work in you. There's a song that says, He plants His footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. So when there's rough times on the outside of your life, God is there. When there's rough times on the inside of your life, your soul, which is much more painful, God is there. He rides upon that storm. He promises to be with you and steer you to a safe harbor. He'll do it. You try to do it alone, you won't have His help. He also knows how you will respond to the storm you're in. I find this very comforting when I was reading this in a devotional, that when we go through a storm and we pretty much fall or respond poorly, you know what? God's not shocked by that. He'll say, look at that. How horrible can you be? You blew the test I gave you, you know, as if he's surprised. He knows our response, and he uses our response to help us lean upon him more heavily. When I grew up in a time, as some of you had also, where polio shots were mandatory for all children. So we would get ours every year or 6 months or whatever, for seemed like forever. And for about every time we would go, me and my brothers, we would scream or cry or yell. Didn't matter. We don't want it. The needles were big back then. And it didn't matter what our response would be. Our parents knew. They said, we'll be with you. And please just walk through this together. God doesn't condemn you for your emotional response to a storm or to a heartache. Okay, he holds you close. And the plans of the Lord stand forever for all generations. Otherwise, when you go through a storm, you get stuck with self-pity or self-condemnation or a pride in yourself. Oh, I did good. You know, going through the storm. Why don't you say, God did good? God did well, to put the English properly there. But fear not, because the Lord is in charge of the circumstances in your life. And the third blessing, God would sustain and guide you so you'll forever bless his name. Now, if you could have God for a partner in every experience in life, and he would guide you, and you'd be assured of his leading hand, wouldn't your days be filled more with peace and confidence and strength and Christ? You'd be thinking about the Christ who is there, not just the self that gets in the way. Even when it comes to our salvation, to acknowledge and to rejoice forever in the truth that Jesus taught, he said, hey, you know what? No one even knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So there was a point in your life where Jesus came and said, let me show you God himself. And you had a chance to say yes to him. And you'll bless his name forever for your salvation. In other words, unless God introduces himself to you, you won't meet him. Unless God tells you about himself, you won't know anything about him. Unless he tells you about life, you won't know. John Wesley tried to comfort his flock by saying, God acts in heaven and earth, sustaining all things, governing every moment. And one of the blessings in my own walk with the Lord is, the more I could see God in every moment of life, it's not without my absent-mindedness, but the more I could do that, the more confidence I gain in him. And his truth is strong and endures forever. His presence is more readily available than even the consciousness of ourselves. In other words, we could be more alert to God than we're alert to what we need to be doing. And that's not in the mystic sense at all. In fact, I saw it exemplified in the life of two very down-to-earth men, a husband or a father and a son worked together in a family business. One day they had to climb a high scaffolding, and the dad, on purpose for some reason, didn't put his safety belt on. They go high as can be, and it was windy outside, and the dad falls and dies. And it was a very tragic thing, missed very much by those who knew him. And yet his son, in response to his dad's homegoing, wrote a tribute to him about God's work in his life, and even God's work in his life at the point of death. In fact, he used a phrase in a poem about his dad saying, soar on, brave eagle. You know, even though his dad was leaving him, and all the grief and pain and reality and missing Him that there is. And only God and the person knows the pain of that. That he was able to say, you know, God was there to take my dad's hand to heaven. Like a brave eagle. Even though everything was going in the wrong direction for him personally. And the Lord's sovereign choices. One family wrote, our life is safe in God, and there we want it. Can you see the truth of that for your life? Well, the Lord would really, really do that. He set up circumstances for Mary and Joseph to meet Jesus, you might say. He sets up circumstances for you and me to meet Jesus. And would we bow to Him and say, Lord, you're good. Lord, thank you for you, and help me to follow you. We could trust Him, and might we give our hearts to Him fully today. Let's pray together. Father, we pray for a time of